You'll open your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 50 as we come to the end of this series looking at the life of Joseph. The story of Joseph is an amazing story. It contains every element of what makes any story great. It's got drama, it's got tragedy, it's got suspense, it has a great moral. And best of all, it has a happy ending. So we love stories like the story of Joseph. Years ago, when we were still in Ireland, I saw for the very first time Andrew Lloyd Webber's production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Now, that's a crazy title. If you ever get a chance, go see that. That's one I would recommend. I've seen it several times since. And it's the story of Joseph put to music, and it's a wonderful presentation. You know, every life that is dedicated to God has a happy ending. Every life. In fact, on every Christian's casket, we should put those words, and he or she lived happily ever after. Because that's the truth. Those who die in the Lord will live happily ever after. Joseph's family, his father and his brothers had made those trips back, or his brothers had made those trips back needing grain. During the famine, that would eventually result in Joseph revealing himself to his brothers, and they wept. And he said, go back and get your old father, get the family, bring them all here, and I'll take care of the family. So that's what they did. When they crossed the border from the land of Canaan into Egypt, the Hebrew nation was only 70 strong. It was not a nation at all. It was Joseph and his 12 sons and their family, 70 of them. And they came into Egypt, and Joseph would get to enjoy his family that he had been separated from for so many years. He would get to enjoy his father for 17 more years, and his brothers and his nieces and his nephews. Now, Jacob would die, and Joseph had him embalmed. He went through the 40-day process that it was required to make a mummy out of his father's remains. And he would take him back to the land of Canaan and bury him there. And then the story in chapter 50 ends with Joseph's own death. He died at age 110. He also was embalmed. He would not be carried back for burial in the land of Canaan until the children of Israel would leave, and they would carry back Joseph through the Red Sea and for 40 years through the wilderness, and eventually he would be buried. Today there are two Egyptian mummies buried in the land of Canaan, and Vicki and I have been to both those grave sites. Jacob is buried in Hebron in the cave of Machpelah. Joseph is buried in Shechem between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, just a very short distance from the well that was dug by Jacob. The same well where Jesus sat and had that conversation with the Samaritan woman, that well is still there. You can still sit at the opening within inches of where Jesus probably sat. And Joseph is buried just a short distance from there. You know, the standard for every one of us is to live our lives faithfully unto death. And it's a sad truth, but there are some folks who quit living a long time before they ever die. Joseph lived to be 110 years old, and he lived every day of his life in faithful service to God. And tonight, in this closing chapter, there are just a couple of things that I think are really outstanding about Joseph. There's so much about his life that's outstanding, but in this closing chapter, in two areas of his life, there are two things that are exemplary and noteworthy, and we just need to take notice of these to try to include in our own lives. The thing that is brought out so clearly here in chapter 50 is the care he gave to his aging father. I'm more aware of that now than I ever was as a younger person because I have a 92-year-old mother that I care for. People today are living longer than ever before, and we're seeing this phenomenon of oftentimes elderly people caring for even more elderly parents. Joseph was a faithful son to his elderly father. And that couldn't have been easy because we all know the kind of person Jacob was. Yes, he was a man of faith, but he was a hard fellow to get along with. He started out life as a deceiver, and he cheated his brother, and he lied to his old blind father Isaac and stole the birthright of his brother. He had those two wives that he had worked for 14 years, and then he had two concubines, and he had a mess of a family. And we saw how dysfunctional that family was where Joseph was being raised. It would not have been easy for any of Jacob's children to take care of him. He reminds me in many ways of Sanford and Sons. Remember that old TV show? Some of you are old enough to remember. And, you know, he's always clutching at his heart. Elizabeth, I'm coming. You know, old Jacob thought he was dying. And he manipulated, or at least he tried to manipulate his boys by threats of death. We just see that over and over. Have you ever been around someone like that? Well, this might be my last Christmas. You know, I hope you'll treat me good. And you know, some people do that. Jacob was a little bit that way. In Genesis 37, when they came back and lied to him, his boys, and said, Joseph has been torn by some animal, it says in verse 35, he refused to be comforted. No, he said, in mourning I will go down to the grave. He said, I'm just going to die. Well, he didn't. In Genesis 42, they said, Benjamin's got to go back with us to Egypt if we're going to get grain. And he said, oh, you'll bring my gray head down to the grave in sorrow. I'm going to die. And the boys believed him, and so they told Joseph, it'll kill our daddy if anything happens to our little brother. In Genesis 45, when he finally learned that Joseph was, in fact, alive, he said, oh, I just want to go and see him one last time before I die. Well, that was 17 years before the old man was going to die. And so he just kept on and on. In Genesis 46, he finally sees Joseph face to face. And you know the first thing was that he said? Now I can die. You know, I've seen you face to face. Now I'm ready to die. And then in Genesis 48:21, he called his family in and he says, I'm about to die. And this time he really meant it because he was really about to die. But for 37 years, he talked constantly about his imminent death and how he was going to die. And as Christians, we don't need to be like that. We need to live our lives. Be more like Joseph. Live your life to the full right up until the end. Don't put up a tent and camp on the lawn over here at Green Lawn. They'll come get you when they're ready for you. Joseph was patient with a very difficult old father. He was very loving to him, very patient with him. And I just know there are a lot of us who still have parents who are living, and they need to be told that we love them and that we care for them, and we need to be patient with them at times when it's easy not to be, and we need to be good to them. One of the most impressive things about Joseph was not only how he cared for his father and got him settled in that new land, but he treated his father unashamedly. And it would have been so easy for someone in his position to be embarrassed with a father like that. There were enormous cultural differences between Jacob and Joseph. Jacob was an old shepherd. He was a hairy old man. The Egyptians were clean shaven, and they bathed regularly, and they lived in palaces. And Joseph was right there at the very upper echelons of the wealthy in Egypt. And yet, here this old shepherd was. Now, the Egyptians didn't like Hebrews. They didn't like Joseph's family because they were shepherds. And Scripture says that the Egyptians despised shepherds. You remember when his brothers first came? They wouldn't even eat in the same room with his brothers. They fed them in a separate area. It says in chapter 43, verse 33, Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews. Not that they didn't want to. They couldn't stand it. Maybe it was the smell. I don't know what it was. But Egyptians could not be around Hebrews. Yet Joseph was proud of his father. And he wanted his daddy to have an audience with none other than Pharaoh, the ruler of all of Egypt. And so he arranged for that. And when old Jacob came in before the mighty Pharaoh, he came in just as he was. Joseph hadn't told him to shave or to take a bath or not to say ain't or anything else. He just ushered him right in before Pharaoh, the ruler of the land. And look here back in chapter 47. In chapter 47, down in verse 7, it says, Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. And look what happened. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, How old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, The years of my pilgrimage are 130. My years have been few and difficult. And they do not equal the years of the pilgrimage of my fathers. Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh like a second blessing, and he went out from his presence. And I just think, you know, this is a lesson to all of us. Don't be ashamed of your parents. Don't be ashamed of your family. I can remember when I was about the age of some of you guys, when I was back in junior high and high school, there were times when I was ashamed of my parents, and I'm ashamed now that I was ashamed of them, but they embarrassed me, and I didn't want my friends to be around them, and I didn't want them in public areas where I was. It doesn't matter what kind of family you have, even if they are uneducated, even if they aren't Christians and don't speak the way you would like for them to speak. Don't be ashamed of them. The great singer of a bygone era, Marian Anderson, she was the first black singer who was invited to sing by the president in the White House. The Roosevelts had her in. And Eleanor Roosevelt was a special patron of Marian Anderson. She sang and gave a concert on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial there in Washington, D.C. And she was asked later in her career, what was the greatest moment in all of your career? And I'm sure they expected her to say, well, it was that day I sang in the White House or the day I was there at the Lincoln Memorial. But you know what she said? She said, the greatest day in my career was the day that I got to go home to my mama's house in Alabama and tell her she didn't have to bring in washing and ironing anymore. Don't be ashamed of your family. When Jacob finally died, Joseph declared 40 days of mourning throughout the entire land of Egypt. It's like he ordered the flags flown at half staff in order to honor his father. Children, honor your father and your mother. Joseph understood the meaning of those words. And the second thing that I think is just amazing as we close out this look at his life, Joseph somehow was able to maintain a vibrant faith in God, living in the midst of a pagan society. Now, this is a lesson that we're going to have to learn in our land as we move more and more in the same direction. Joseph could easily have turned out just like Solomon did. He had become wealthy beyond imagination. He had power. He could have allowed himself to become lax morally. He could have acquired many more wives. He didn't do any of that. Joseph had one wife for life. And he was faithful to her. And there's one interesting incident that just stands out in bold relief near the end of his life. And that's after his father had died. He went back to the land of Canaan and he buried his father there in the cave of Machpelah. And he comes back. And as he comes back, he notices there's something different about my brothers and the way they were acting. Because those brothers had talked among themselves and they had convinced themselves that the only reason that Joseph has forgiven us is because our father was still alive. And now that the old man is gone, he's going to lower the boom on all of us and finally pay us back for what we did to him. Look in verse 50 there of, or in chapter 50 down in verse 15. So Jacob's sons did as he had commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and they buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which Abraham had bought as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite, along with the field. And after burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you're to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive us the sins of the servants of the God of your father." And when their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came in and threw themselves down before him. "We're your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. You know, Joseph meant what he said when he forgave them. He had no intention of causing his brothers harm. He wasn't storing up wrath until his dad died and he could finally get even with his brothers. You know, there are people like that that will just store up wrath, and when the opportunity finally comes, then they'll unleash that wrath. It's like that old story of the woman who was bit by a rabid dog, and she waited too late to go to the doctor. And by the time she got there, he said, "Well, you're already half gone." He said, "You're going to die. There's nothing I can do for you." And she immediately got out a piece of paper and began writing. And he said, "Are you making out your will?" She said, "No, I'm making a list of the people I want to bite." There are people like that in this world. Not Joseph. Joseph had forgiven. He had given his word to his brothers. He had settled them and their families in the land of Goshen. And you know, I just wonder if that's not how God is with us sometimes. Have you ever done something that you were especially ashamed of or felt especially guilty about, and you periodically are reminded by Satan of something you've done in your past, and you've not asked God just once, but you've asked God twice and three times and four times and repeatedly for forgiveness of that same old sin, even though God has told us, "Your sins I will remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far will I remove your sins." And I wonder if God doesn't react sometimes like Joseph. It hurt Joseph that his brothers came to him and didn't believe that he had really forgiven them. I wonder if God ever weeps when we go back again and again and ask him to forgive us for the same old thing. He does what Joseph did. He speaks kindly to us. He assures us through his word. But it must hurt his heart when we don't believe and accept his forgiveness. Well, the closing commentary on this remarkable life is in that last paragraph in chapter 50, starting in verse 22. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years, and he saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were placed at birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die." That's the only time Joseph ever said that. He meant it when he said it. "I'm about to die. But God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph had spent the majority of his life in the land of Egypt. He had taken a wife there, he had raised his boys there, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and yet, after all of that time living in Egypt, he didn't want to be buried there. Now, Vicki and I have lived in Missouri longer than we have lived anywhere else, and we have a grave plot up here at Maple Park Cemetery. We intend to be buried right here in Springfield, Missouri. Joseph wasn't like that, though. Even though he'd spent his life practically in Egypt, he said, "When I die, I want to go back to Canaan." Well, why? Because he knew and understood and believed the promise of God, that God would give that land to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he said, "I want to go back to the promised land that God is giving to my people." Well, it was about 400 years later that they took that mummy and that box and they put it on a wagon and off they started for the land of Canaan. They would go through the Red Sea that was parted miraculously. That mummy on the wagon was parked there underneath Mount Sinai as Moses received the word. And then for 40 years made laps in the wilderness as those people lived a rebellious life against God. But finally, at long last, those bones of Joseph were carried across the Jordan River and into the promised land. He would have been there when the Battle of Jericho was fought. And on through all the battles, eventually taken down to the area of Shechem, where he was interred there in his grave. Joseph is only mentioned one time in the New Testament. As remarkable a person as he was, only gets one mention in the New Testament, and that is in the book of Hebrews, in that great Hall of Fame of those who were faithful to God. Hebrews 11:22. Among all the greats, Noah in his faith built an ark. Abraham in his faith went out when God called him to do that. The parents of Moses by faith hid their child. And then it lists the great faith event in Joseph's life. Don't look, but do you remember what it was? At least what the Hebrew writer puts down. The great event of faith and all the things that happened. He doesn't mention that he overcame the temptation with Potiphar's wife. That's not what he mentions. He doesn't talk about how he saved the lives of so many through his plans and the grain during the 7 years of plenty. That's not what is mentioned there. He doesn't even mention the forgiveness of his brothers as the great faith event. In Hebrews 11:22, let me just read it for you. There the Hebrew writer says this: "By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones." That's what the Hebrew writer marvels about. That amazed him more than anything else. His great act of faith was believing in the promise of God and giving instructions to take me back home to the promised land. Joseph understood the meaning of that song long before it was ever written, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." When he was abused, Joseph did not retaliate. When he was tempted, he did not yield. When he prospered, he didn't strut. And when he grew old, he did not lose heart. He remained faithful to his God all the days of his life. And if we just flash forward to the coming of Jesus, there are so many parallels. Jesus also came to a foreign country. He was abused by his brothers. He was stripped of his coat. He was nailed to the cross. What those people meant for evil, God meant for good. And by that act of giving his life on the cross, forgiveness is extended and many lives have been saved. And Jesus was faithful unto death, even death on a cross. I'm so grateful for people like Joseph. I want to meet that guy one day when I get to heaven. Very few like him that are recorded on the pages of Scripture. We have a God who loves us, who assures us of his forgiveness, and who wants to be with us forever. Tonight, if there's anyone here who needs to take that step of obedience, we'll assist you. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you. If you need to come, won't you do it while we stand and sing?